This has been it's always a fun time to celebrate Purim. It's a joyous time. Remember when the wonderful things that God did for us. But if you have noticed, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, the entire book of Esther is missing certain words in it. If you've ever read the book of Esther, you'll notice the word God is never mentioned anywhere. And people discuss, oh, it's obviously not really supposed to be part of the Bible. It doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just there as a story. Well, poppycock. That is garbage. There is so much more in the book of Esther and why it's written in our Bibles and our texts that I wish to discuss that just for a few minutes with you, if you don't mind. As you can tell, well, most of you have this piece of paper in front of you, those of you who are looking at it. You will notice this paper contains about, a quarter or so of the book of Esther written on it. This quarter is highlighted. These are not the exact text. This is a paraphrase of what's actually happening in these various verses. You will notice this piece of paper is a chiastic structure. Those of you who have been with me a while, you know I talk about chiastic structures as being important. You notice the top item on your list on that piece of paper is a letter A, and that A is highlighted, and that letter A corresponds to the exact same subject matter at the bottom of the piece of paper. You notice that? So the top one looks a lot like the very bottom one. Notice that? Go to the second line down. The second one, which highlighted blue. The second line, it says a royal edict decreed for the king not to be revoked for her estate, which means Queen Vashti's estate, to another. The king did according to the word of Memucan. The letters were sent to the king's provinces, his own script, each people their own language, each man rules his own home, Vashti was banished. Look at the bottom of your piece of paper, that also same blue line highlighted. Look what it says. For an edict, well, that sounds familiar, which was written in the king's name, that's also familiar. Maybe not be revoked. I have given Haman's estate. Sounds like Vashti's estate. To Esther, you may write in the name of the king. Mordecai's letter was promulgated or distributed through every province, each his own language, tongue, their own script, permission for the Jews to defend themselves, and Haman was killed. Killed being similar to banished, because in Judaism and the Bible, banished and killed is one and the same thing. Notice the similarities between those two? Well, the next line down, the next actually is the whole section loaded as C. If you read the whole section of C, you obviously a period of time passed. You have the king desired to honor someone anew, which in the case was a queen. The cosmetics were put upon Esther. She was very in attendance, the best of everything. She reigned in Vashti's place. Mordecai, of course, was sitting at the king's gate. It's verse 19 to 21. A king gave a banquet for Esther. You see the various similarities. Now scroll down to the bottom of the page. You see the same colors highlighted and what happens after a particular event. It says, look, after a period of time, the king was reminded of, instead of Vashti, this was Mordecai's good deed. The king desired to honor, instead of a woman or a person, in this case it was a man, similarities to honoring Esther, who saved his life. Mordecai was, as Esther was dressed in something very nice and attractive and pampered, Mordecai was dressed in something very nice. This, of course, was a royal attire, and a royal crown was given on his head. You see, notice the similarities between what's written here and what's written in the top half of the page? Hopefully most of you noticed that. Continue on. You know, the whole point of all this, which I'm pointing this out to you, is to draw your attention to one thing that's highlighted right in the middle of your piece of paper, which we'll get there in a minute. Notice Haman's promoted. Scroll down a little bit, Dad. Scroll down a little bit. Haman was promoted. Scroll down here to section D, a little further down. And this has elevated him, which is Mordecai, promotes Mordecai above other officials. So Haman is being compared to Mordecai. It's the whole transition about one event. This chiastic structure is narrowing down. These are mirroring one another. The top half of the book of Esther, the first half, is a mirror image of the second half of the book of Esther. All of its attention and purpose to draw one thing to your eye. One thing to catch your eye. Go ahead and advance toward the middle. This highlighted area right here. This is what the entire book of Esther is trying to get your attention. This is what it's trying to tell you. This book has very little else in it other than this one key fundamental message. That message is Esther's response. All the king's officials and all the people of the royal province know that any man or woman who approached the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception for this, the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to the king. That's the book of Esther trying to tell you that one sentence. Why? Why is the book of Esther trying to grab your attention to tell you that one thing? She risked her life. What's else in it? The number 3 isn't it? 30 days. This is a messianic prophecy in the book of Esther regarding our Messiah. That's why the book is in your Bible. To tell you what the Messiah is supposed to do. Esther is pointing out this is a risk of her life. She should die. Note, she's pointing this out to them out of fear of death. She knows this will kill her. Why would else the Jews have to fast for 3 days and 3 nights? Again, a purpose of number 3. Draw your attention. This is important. This is a big deal. Nobody does this. No one goes before the king, ever, without being called. She's going to do something undone before. Never been done. No one succeeded before. What do you think our Messiah did? Something that's never been done before. Supposed to go before the king, who Messiah knew full well, if I go down to earth, God, I am going to die. And guess what? I'm going to do it anyway. For what purpose? To make this transition, turn Haman and Mordecai around. Turn evil into good. Promote good above evil. That is the objective. That's the purpose. That's exactly what our Messiah did. That's why the book of Esther is written this way. It's not just a random story. It's written in a particular order of events. These order of events are mirrored one another for our attention, to grab our attention, say, hey, look, there's something important. God's trying to give a message here. It's not just a great story, although it is a good story, don't be wrong. The story is telling you about what our Messiah is supposed to do. Of course, the book of Esther is written hundreds of years before Messiah was ever born. It was pre-written. Messiah's destiny was pre-written. For why? Why would it be pre-written here in the book of Esther? So that when he shows up, we would all recognize what he's supposed to do. Now, there's more to the story. Those of you with me a few years ago, I discussed what is Hazaroth, I mispronounced that. His name. There's more in this book. You notice I said that the name of God's never written in the book. Quite contrary. Anytime you hear or see the word Achashverosh, there's God. What does Achashverosh, the acronym, mean in Hebrew? No. He who was, he who is, and he who is to come. That's what Achashverosh means in Hebrew. Not the word, the acronym, sorry. The Hebrew acronym means that. So this whole story is telling you Queen Esther, also known as Messiah, goes before the God of all gods, our Creator, the one who was, is, and is to come, and pleads on behalf of whom? The Yehudim, the Jews, us. Anybody who puts a hat in is included. We're not going to discuss the issues of genetics. And what else does he do? And testifies against whom? Haman. Yeah, boo. The bad guy. Testifies against him that his plot is to wipe out all of the Jews. What's Satan's intention? Oh, that sounds really familiar, doesn't it? It should. And what's the end result? The tables were turned. Satan is killed by order of the God Most High. Yay. Esther and Mordecai are all promoted up. Esther, of course, gains all of Satan's territory. You notice that? That sounds really interesting too, doesn't it? It's a parallel. It's designed for it to catch our attention. We'll see, hey, there's God here all over it. And because this is written in such a beautiful structure, very well done. It's actually one of the cleaner ones in the entire Bible. Nice and convenient too, because it fits all on one page. Most of them don't. It was probably planned. God's a good planner. He probably wrote this out and knew full well what he was doing when the events were occurring. To make sure you would record this, see it, and we'd say, hey, wait a minute. As you're reading this story, oh, it's just so funny that Haman and Mordecai seem to trade places. Bingo. That's your ticket. Haman and Mordecai trade places? Why? What's going on? Look at the chiastic structures. These chiastic structures, it's a Greek word for a pattern or sequence for a poem. That's what I want to bring your attention to. It is a wonderful story. It's a joyous time to celebrate and have a good time. But it's also a lot of information here, too. Note, I didn't cover every one of the details. That's why I print out this copy for you to take home as you wish, and you can look at it more detailed. I love chiastic structures because they tell you lots more stuff than what the text seems to draw your attention to. Those of you who have noticed in the past, maybe you haven't, I always have, every time I've read the book of Esther, the only scripture that ever brought my attention to was always, oh, maybe God has brought you forth for a time such as this. Maybe that one. It's very commonly quoted that, you know, Esther, you stand up for your people. Clearly, that's not the scripture God wanted our attention to grab, was it? He wanted our attention to grab that she's doing something that's going to kill her, and she doesn't die. So that should cause death, doesn't cause death, and number three is included, is always a sign of Messiah in the entire Tanakh. You see those three things all in the same story or a sequence of events. It's designed to draw your attention that this is what Messiah is supposed to do. Any questions? Hey, I even ended on time. How'd that happen? Yes, I'm like...
It's silly. How do you spell I can't even say it. Chiastic structure.
Chiastic. C-H-A-I-S. No. T-I-C. Chiastic. How do you spell it? C-I-A-S. Oh, Greek. it's a Greek word meaning a pattern or sequence of events designed for a poem. A poem, meaning a pattern, something that starts one way and ends the same way. Now, there's multiple different forms of chiastic structures. This is one of the more simple versions of it. There are more that just are point A, B, and C, match point, another point A, B, and C, in that exact order, which they're parallel instead of mirror images. And that story, we'll maybe discuss that at a later time, what the sequence of all those mean. They're very, very, very common. They're all over the Bible. You have a hard time maybe finding two or three chapters in a row that will not have one in it. It's in there, because that's probably one of his primary tools of teaching in the entire Bible, is chiastic structures.
So is the chiastic structure here then that she is kind of an image of the Messiah to come? Is that what it is here?
Exactly. That's what draws your attention, that the character, Esther, is also known as or equivalent to Messiah. We have the same idea when it comes to, what's his name, Joseph. You remember Joseph's story? There's a bread and a wine, he has the dreams, and he saves all of Israel. You know that whole idea? Christians believe that Joseph's kind of like an image of Messiah in some ways, isn't he? That's known as a chiastic structure. It's a parallel. It's a thematic tie. These are all the exact same things. That's God's primary use of teaching. We have the idea of, remember the Satan, or Satan being the snake, right? And we have this idea of, you know, when all the snake was out amongst the people of Moses' time, biting them all, and they're all instructed, oh, look up at this bronze serpent, it will save you. We have this image, oh, well, see, a snake, the source of your destruction, dies, and then you're saved. It's the whole idea of, we have this messianic idea behind it. That's known as a thematic tie built into a chiastic structure. They're all over the place. Christianity used it all the time completely unknowingly. I'm just pointing it out to you what it actually looks like, what God wrote.